It does, yes. There's the economic effect, obviously, in terms of your earnings, but there's also the social effects on people as well. You know, being out of work for a long period of time affects your confidence, you lose your skills, it affects your family and your community. And I mean, the economy is improving and the number of people in jobs is growing, but we still have about 10% of people who are unemployed. And over half of those people are long-term unemployed. And that's a real worry, because there's a long-term unemployed in terms of young people and also just workers in general. And if you're unemployed as a young person for just being employed for 1 year, for the rest of your life, you will earn between 8 and 12% less than your peers who weren't unemployed for a period of time. I mean, that's a significant impact on the life of a young person. And it's the same for someone who's been long-term unemployed, because if you do move back into the labour market and get a job, your earnings will be lower for the rest of your working life probably than those people who weren't unemployed for a significant period of time. And that's something we forget about. At a time when you see pressure on wages in order to maintain competitiveness, where a lot of jobs now, maybe the hours are precarious or the pay is not great, then those are all things that have to be taken into consideration. And I suppose emigration in Ireland has meant that our youth unemployment figure is lower than it would have been otherwise. But it's still very worrying that we have young people now who are long-term unemployed. And it's very worrying that we have a group of adults. We've an extra 91,000 people long-term unemployed, but particularly people who would worked in the construction sector. Some of those have been unemployed for more than 5 years now. And the impact that has on them is enormous. And yet, we're not really doing anything to address them. The people who are getting the jobs are those who are closest to the labour market, so it requires the least amount of effort on the part of government to get them into jobs. But it's those who are furthest away that we tend to leave till the very end. And the problem is they may never re-enter the labour market if we don't do something about it.
But the government might say, you know, is it their responsibility in a sense? You know, I mean, everybody has their own responsibility to know what is the best sector to go into or what is the sector that's most likely to have employment. You know, so people, I suppose, maybe do they have a personal responsibility to also train in the areas where the jobs are?
Well, absolutely. I would say that there's personal responsibility, but there's also responsibility on the state, because if the state doesn't take on that responsibility, these people will be reliant on the state for the rest of their lives in terms of getting a welfare payment. And yes, obviously, people should train for the jobs that are available, but you have to think about what type of jobs are available, where do you live, and what training is available. So, for example, if you don't live in Dublin or an urban centre, it's going to be difficult for you to access the type of training that is available for the type of jobs, especially, for example, jobs in the IT sector or other high-skill jobs that are coming on stream. If you have a family, can you go back into third-level qualification and do the 3-4 years training that might be required for those jobs? If you don't live in an urban area, if you live in one of the regions or a rural area, I mean, the training that's available to you is limited, but also the job prospects that are available to you are limited, because those prospects are reliant on the industry in that area. So one proposal that we have made to government is, when they're looking, at the moment they're overhauling the apprenticeship system, a really simple thing to do would be to localise that system so that the state, through the ETBs, Employment and Training Boards, would get together with the local employers to see what employment opportunities are in that area, then also get together with the employment services to see what group of people are unemployed, you know, what's the age profile, what is the skill profile, so what sort of training do these people need to enter jobs that are available in their locality. And this training should be able to be short, snappy, both in work and out of work in wherever the training centre is. But those are the sort of niche things you have to do, because you know, you're not going to get a multinational company locating in every region in Ireland. The reality is they'll locate in Dublin, Cork, Galway, and that is it. So for those people who are unemployed in the regions, you need to look at niche programs like that, because they have their roots there, they live there. If you have a family, you're unlikely to uproot and move to an urban area. So what opportunities are going to be available for you through your lifetime in those areas, and how do you get people into those jobs?
Another scheme in terms of apprenticeship was JobBridge, but there have been some concerns and complaints about that.
Well, I suppose JobBridge, in a way, it was focused on young people. It probably suited single people a lot more. You got your employment payment and a small top-up, and you you interned, for want of a better word, in an organisation for a period of time. But for some people, it was quite successful. But for a lot of people, and research into JobBridge has shown this, is that they felt undervalued, and in a way it was almost like free labour. And the point of it was that you should have learned on the job and developed new skills that would help you into the workforce. But a lot of, or at least a significant proportion of the scheme and the jobs that were available on the scheme weren't high skills. They were low skills, maybe administration type work, which the person could do anyway. So they weren't learning anything. And the point of JobBridge was that you should learn new skills on the job and then be able to move seamlessly into a role in the labour market. And plus, the other problem with JobBridge is, unless you had access to transport or lived in Dublin, it was very difficult, because the weekly top-up was not going to cover a weekly bus pass or petrol if you had to drive. That is the other problem with JobBridge.
Mm-hmm. So your suggestion is really that these apprenticeships be much more specific and much more targeted and nationwide.
Exactly, and to get local employers involved, to get the local institutes of technology, if they're there, a lot of them now have outreach centres around the country, get the local education and training boards involved, the employment services, to see what jobs will be there, what jobs are not short-term or long-term with career prospects, and how you train up those people who are unemployed, and in particular long-term unemployed, because they're not going to move from the areas they live in. So how do you give them the skills to move into those jobs? It will require investment in the short run, but in the long run, it will save the state a significant amount of money. And the social and economic benefit for the communities then is huge, because those people stay in their communities, they're earning, they're spending money, and it's a virtuous circle, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, people often forget that link, in a sense. We always think of, oh, you're giving people a handout, or it's like a nanny state type of thing. But, you know, if that doesn't happen, there are other knock-on effects, or the returns on it are actually very beneficial to the community. It's a sort of a contract that we almost forget about.
Absolutely. We forget that the people we rely on to spend in our local shops, our cafes, the local garage, the hairdresser, are the people who live there. So if those people aren't working, they have less disposable income to spend. And if they're not spending it, then there's a knock-on effect on the other employment in the area and in the community. So and actually, there's a couple of OECD studies that show that, in particular, in, we'd say, smaller urban centres, the small towns around the country and in the regions, a small amount of investment in terms of training people who are unemployed and getting them into work, the returns on that are significant, because both in the returns in terms of their earning, and then those earnings spreading out into the community, because they will spend their money there. You know, these people, the majority of them, you know, they don't spend and save, they spend, because the money they take in is quite low, especially if you're on a welfare payment. It's almost impossible for you to save. And even if you just move into a job on the minimum wage or just above it, the reality is you will probably end up spending the majority of disposable income in the area in which you live. And that has a huge economic benefit for the community.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, also a social benefit, because you're looking at it from a sort of a social justice point of view. Essentially, the idea is to create a better community.
Exactly. So not only are the benefits for the person themselves in terms of their mental health, their confidence, their gaining skills, the benefit is there for their families and for their communities, because every one of us has benefited from the state providing for us at some stage of our lives. We may not remember it when we were children, but the state did provide, and has provided our education system. And every single person in the state has paid for that. Not just people in work, everybody. The minute you pay, for example, VAT, nobody can avoid VAT. So anyone who's paying VAT, and that's when you go down to your local shop and do your shopping, you're paying VAT. So that money is going to contribute to the services that the state provides for us. So by having people in employment in your community, it means they're contributing as well to the service that are provided for the entire life cycle, so that when they are older, they will also be able to access the health services and the other services that they need. And they're giving back to the state, and at the same time, they have been supported in their time of need. So we shouldn't just forget about those who are really distant from the labour market and who are long-term unemployed, who do require significant reskilling, but the investment would not have to be huge, it just has to be targeted.